1-800-399-7353. You call me right now. Just three more of you. 1-800-399-7353. Or you call me 678-962-3036. 678-962-3036. I see the clock and the walls. It's time for me to leave you. God bless you. God keep you, is my prayer. And I love you very, very much. It's the love of the good Lord.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. Oh, yeah. Amen. Have you been redeemed? Praise the Lord. Well, if you'll stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to hear your word. Prepare our hearts, our minds, that we may not only hear but understand what you have to say. We give you praise and glory for speaking to us, dealing with us, endowing us with your truth and understanding. So bless us even now as we yield to you in the power of the Holy Ghost, as we prepare to hear your words. We ask now that the Holy Ghost will have his way in the text and in every hearer's heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. And recorded are these words: Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers, more especially the doers of his holy word. But just a little while, I want to talk from the subject. Prideful folk and people of faith. Which are you? Prideful folk or people of faith? Which are you? One of the things that I find captivating about this word is Habakkuk, after he gives the record of what God had answered him and said to him, after verse or chapter 1 records the five questions that Habakkuk asked God, and God deferred to answer those questions immediately. In the second chapter, Habakkuk takes a position in verse 1 of patience, because he recognizes you can't hurry God. that God will reveal in his own timing what he wants to reveal to us when it is right. That we should always be in a position of waiting on God rather than God waiting on us. Verse 2, he takes the position of publishing plainly the message that God gave to him, which was so important to publish plainly this word that God had given so that everyone, everywhere, would be able to read this message, this vision, in a way, whether it was in the morning, at midnight, midday, they would get the message that was plainly and clearly articulated and understand what God is saying and respond personally to it. It was important for him to obey God and to make the vision plain so that men's souls would be saved and their lives would be spared. He takes this responsibility seriously, and he does it as God commands. In verse 3, the prophecy is prolonged but promised. And so when God deals with him, he says to him that the vision is yet for an appointed time, and making clear to him that he must know that though it doesn't happen overnight or the next day or the next week or the next month or even the next year, that God is in control of the dispensation of that prophecy coming to pass. Not only does he make it clear that the prophecy is prolonged, but what is most clear is that it is promised. And so he says, at the end, it shall speak and not lie. And what that simply meant was that when the prophecy showed up, it was going to unfold every letter of the prophecy to its given end, that God would do just what he said in his own timing. And then he comes back and he says, though it tarries, wait for it. Don't get impatient. Don't run ahead of God. Don't change your mind. Don't disconnect from God. Don't act as if God does not know what he's talking about, or don't know what you're going through, or don't know what you're dealing with. He's mindful of all of these things that he has said, even in the fulfilling of the prophecy. And he says, listen, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. So it will not lie. It will do just what God said it'll do. And when it does come, it will come and unfold itself speedily. You know how it is when you are waiting for something to happen, whether it's going on vacation, whether it's waiting for your birthday, whether it's waiting for Christmas. You spend all of that time and you're anxious and you're looking forward to that time. And it seems like it takes so long and it seems like it'll never show up. But when it gets here, it goes so fast that it unfolds so quickly. The day just seems like you turn around and hours that seemed like before were minutes. Now minutes or hours now seem like they're seconds. The day just flies by. And so we say, how time flies when you're having fun. And so it literally meant that when the prophecy would come to its dispensation period, it will unfold so quickly that folk won't have time to do anything else but see it come to pass. And so the warning was that the people of God get their lives together, get their business fixed, that they would run that readeth it, that they would go to a place of safety. Pella was one of the closest mountain regions whereby they were able to run and secure lodging or homesteads and get themselves there in a safe place. So when the attack of the Chaldeans would come and destroy many and make slave of others, they would have already read the vision, knew what was coming, and ran ahead and prepared themselves for that coming day. Even though after the Chaldeans would come to destroy them and to handle up on them, God would send the Babylonians to handle up on the Chaldeans for handling up on the people of God. It was like an early warning detection like we have when we have severe weather. You can be watching your favorite movie, waiting for the most important part to come on, and then you hear, doop, doop, doop. It make you start speaking in tongues, and they're not holy. But they're trying to tell you that something bad is coming. Whether it's a hurricane, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a flood warning, they're giving you enough time to hear the message and run quickly to save yourself, prepare your property, do what's necessary so that as much life and property can be spared. That was the purpose of writing the vision and making it plain upon tables, that they may get an advanced warning of what was to come. And then verse 4 says, behold, focus in now, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Now, who are they talking about? He's talking about anybody and everybody whose soul is lifted up and is not upright in him. But the specific historical reference here is to the Chaldeans, and it is to the Israelites or the Jews who did not trust in God's word, in God's early warning system, who did not believe that what was prophesied was going to come to pass, that perhaps things would change and it would not happen as God said it would happen, and they got lifted up in their own protection, in their own power, in their own ability to save themselves, keep themselves in the midst of the prophecy that God promised would come to pass. And so those were prideful people who figured they knew more than God. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are some of us still today who are prideful folk. God has given you warnings, advance notice of things to come, and yet you think you have outsmarted God. You figured out a way to be able to do what you want to do, act like you want to act, live like you want to live, be like you want to be, and save yourself in spite of the warning that God has given, when the truth of the matter is all that's going to save you is the swift adherence to the warnings of God. When these who were lifted up, in their own pride, who did not trust God, who did not believe God, who do not lean on God, who did not accept God's word as law, as real, as truth, were saying to God, thank you, but I don't really need your warnings. They were saying to God, I appreciate that, but I got it covered. I got this. I'm cool. Everything's all right. We've already done our preparation. We don't need the early warning system. We don't need your place of refuge. We don't need this situation. We've got our own thing in place. And so many people today do the same thing because they have sufficient bank accounts. They have a good job, good position, good pay. They've got home security. They've got all of the things necessary to keep them comfortable in this life, where so they don't have to run and scuffle when God says it's an emergency. They've pre-planned. They've got everything already together. If there's a food shortage, they're not worried. They've got the refrigerator, the freezer, and the deep freezer packed already. If the electric go off, they've got a generator hooked up to be able to save their food and cook and get light and do what they need to do. They've got it all planned out, got it all fixed. Nothing wrong with being prepared, but something's wrong when your preparedness precedes or overthrows the preparation of God. If God says, go, there ain't nothing here that ought to make you stay. When God says it's now or never, then you ought to say, God, you know best. Let me leave all of this stuff alone, get what I can take with me, and move on up to higher ground because you know best. But when you think you know better than God, you set yourself up for certain danger or destruction. Now listen at this. The word says, behold his soul, which is lifted up. Now that lifted up is speaking about pride. It's speaking about it's already at the point where they have overly confidence in themselves, overly given themselves to their ability to be self-confident, self-sufficient in being able to ward off anything God says. They trust in their armies. They trust in their reserves. They trust in everything but God. So God says that their soul is not upright in him. It's already lifted up, and it's not upright in him. Well, if it's not upright in him, then that means that God does not honor his preparation. God does not honor what he has done because he has not trusted God, but rather himself and mankind. My brother, my sister, we must do what we can do, but never ever against the directives of God. We ought to make preparations to save ourselves and save our properties and save those things that we've worked hard for. But if God says, get up and get out now, whatever cannot get up and get out with you ought to stay right there. How many people have perished because the house was burning down? And they waited too long trying to gather everything they could gather that was important, that was valuable to them, instead of getting all human life out of the house and saying, listen, we are blessed to have escaped this fire with our life. So what if the stuff burns up? We've got an opportunity to live again and to get what we've lost in the fire at another time. But sometimes they gather all they can get, and the fire burns and closes the exit, and they perish in the fire because they did not adhere the warning signs. My brothers and sisters, this is so important to realize and recognize that Habakkuk was trying to help them understand, whether they were the Chaldeans or whether they were the Jews, it doesn't matter. When you are prideful, God doesn't have nothing to do with you. When you're prideful like that and do not trust God and put your own means and your own preparations and your own designs and your own desires ahead of God, you said to God, what you say does not matter, but what I say does. And you then become disconnected from God. And God is not under warrant to save you when you have disconnected yourself from the Savior himself. And then he moves on and says, but the just shall live by his faith. Now Habakkuk brings this just living by faith into reality. Although it has been demonstrated in the Old Testament, Habakkuk is the first one to articulate it. He says, but the just. Now, the just are those who have been counted righteous because of their faith in God. Listen, Abraham, the greatest example of a man believing God in faith, coming out of a heathenistic country and culture, heard the word of God and moved immediately upon that word, not knowing God as God, but hearing and being moved in his heart that that was God, that that was the sovereign being. He accepted that word and began to operate in that word. And he left his father's house. He left his family. He left his land. He left his friends. He left his country. Listen to this. At 75 years old, to follow God. Now listen, young people who have their whole lives ahead of them, and God speaks to them and tells them he wants them to do this or do that, and he wants them to go there, whether question the voice of God. But now, imagine a soul that is settled, that has lived and gotten complacent in life, gotten their routine down. Everybody know them, they know everybody. All is what it is, and they have settled for that. And now God tells them, get up and get out. What amazing faith. That pleased God. So because that pleased God, God counted Abraham's, or Abram's at that time, faith as righteousness. So he became righteous even as a heathen who decided to trust God instead of all of his heathenistic ways, cultures, and country. He got up and departed from all of that stuff that was not like God. And God honored him. And that's how he became just. Just. So Habakkuk says, but the just shall live by his own faith. Now listen at this. Habakkuk was saying to everyone that saw the message and got themselves together and ran in a sense of hurriedness, in a sense of, I believe you, God. I trust you, God. Let me move with swiftness. Thank you for this advanced warning. Let me go ahead at once and restructure my life, and let me move and get myself in a better position for the future. And so when he does this and writes this down, and the people of God hear this, they literally live because of their own faith. Their faith told them, listen, you better move now. It started stirring on their heart every day, every minute of every day. That message kept moving on the insides of their hearts, on the altar of their heart. Did not God say, get out of here? Did not God say, move on to Pella, move on to a mountainous range where you can get a position where you will be secure, and when the attack come, it's going to happen, but you'll be spared. This message of those who were believing God by faith was so profound that they moved with sincerity and with haste. How oftentimes does God's word move us to action? Many of us come to church on Sunday, we hear good words, say, Pastor, that was a good word, and do nothing about it. We hear it, but we don't heed it. Man, that was a message for me. And what did you do with it? Yeah, God knocked on your door. God delivered your mail. You read your mail and you said, that's right, that is true. All of this mail is true. This is for me. That's my name. And yet continue to live like you didn't hear what God had to say. And then are shocked when the prophecy comes to pass. Like, oh God, what's going on? It's just like in Noah's day. He preached 120 years. They had never seen rain. Just had mist and dew. Noah's prophesying. Listen, get your life together. Get yourself together. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. If you don't get yourself together before the rain starts, you won't be saved after it began. Some wise people said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the weather. Amen. Weather watches. They knew the seasons and the times, and they knew what to look for and whether or not it would be this kind of day and that kind of day. They're like, no, ain't got nothing on me. I know what the weather's going to do. And those smart ones thought that they could outthink God. And when they knew something was about to happen, their plan was to make it to the ark and be saved. But the record is, it wasn't but 8 people who believed the message and received the salvation. And only 8 people and all the animals came out of that old world and into the new world. Because it was those 8 who operated in faith and they lived by faith and they worked by faith and they did everything by faith. Faith, and they made it by faith. And that message has not changed today. That message is still the same. The just shall live by faith. I love the way Habakkuk say his faith, because in that day and time, again, they emphasize the personal choice and decision to live by faith. See, what I like about this word is when it's all said and done, mama might choose not to go. And daddy might say it don't make sense to go. But I've got to make a decision for myself. Will I go? And so if nobody else goes, if I go, then God saves me because I operated in faith and I lived according to my own faith. Whole families will go to hell, but one person who chose to believe will end up in glory because they believed the word of God. No one can save you, can confess Christ for you,